We've got a guest speaker with us today, and so take it away, Reverend Picano.
So today I'm going to read 1 Peter chapter 5, 6 and 7 out of the New King James Version. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. And verse 5 out of the New American Standard Bible, and all of you clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, for God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And Micah 6, 8 out of the New King James Version, he has shown you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justly, to love mercy, loving kindness, and to walk humbly with your God.
Yep.
We are called by God to walk humbly with him as well as in humility with one another.
Amen. Is that good for today? Unless you want to, you can take the rest of it. There's okay. So think about what Sean just said. We're continuing on in our study of 1 Peter. We're in chapter 5. And I want you to just think about this powerful thought this morning. Humility creates powerful freedom. Now, it's funny because a lot of us, our skewed view of humility, we don't necessarily see humility as something that creates powerful freedom. But think about what Sean just read. We're called by God to walk humbly with him as well as walk in humility with one another. Now, I don't know about you guys, but when I was younger and I was going through different things and I began to understand or began to read some of these scriptures, and I can remember some of the things that I was going through, and God was challenging me with things in my own personal life, I can remember this is how I responded to learning or being exposed to some of this teaching. Really? Seriously, really? Because I don't know about you, and I'm not... If you're not accustomed to me sharing, I'm not going to stand up here with these pious platitudes, you know, like, oh, I would never think that, feel that. No, I'm up here trying to encourage you with the living word of God and encouraging you with the reality of who we are as human beings and what God has called us to, and that is a process. We call it progressive sanctification. It's a process of us being transformed by his Spirit. So I can remember myself when I began to see some of these things and just the reality of some of the tensions, whether it was a place that I worked, whether it was when I was younger, starting at a restaurant, then going to a farm and mucking stalls. And, you know, you have all these different experiences, all these different people that you're in leadership, you're in management, you're in oversight, and you're sharing these things. And most of my job environments, most of our job environments, if we're going to be really honest, most of our job environments create some kind of tension for us, because often we see a level of pride and selfishness that is evident in the leadership that we're supposed to be working with. You get what I'm saying? Maybe I'm the only person that's ever worked for people like that, but what I've seen is a lot of us in our job environments especially, it creates this tension in these relationships. So we're talking about humility. Last week we talked about trust. So when we were talking about humility, trust, and yielding to someone's leadership, this is often a catalyst for anxiety and stress. You get what I'm saying? It can be challenging. Now, what I want to just remind you of is this verse that a lot of us use, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. This is a freestanding statement, period, because it is supported by the entirety of the Word of God. But what I want to remind you is that the context of Peter's challenge here, the context of Peter's encouragement, is within the context of leadership, management, and oversight. Leadership structure, oversight structure. So Peter is saying that this process of understanding humility is also a process that is very personal, and it involves humility. some possible negative feelings. Now, I'm not going to bore you this morning, but I've had a ton of challenges in all sorts of leadership and management models in my life. Trust me when I say that I realize and accept my part in the struggle. I'm not saying like, oh yeah, I've worked for some doozies. I know that I was a doozy working for a doozy. So, I mean, I get it. You know, I accept my part in it. But at the same time, being employed by people that you consider arrogant or self-centered creates some natural tension and struggle within you as a human being. Now, I shared last week my combined definition of humility, and it comes from a life of learning and growth. And then what I want you to understand is when I read it to you again, that my definition is an expanded version definition because it's already expanded from last week. Because as I'm talking to people, I'm like, oh yeah, that's good. So let me just remind you of what my definition of humility is. Acknowledging the reality of your existence before God. This is a perfect starting place. Some of you, it happens at salvation, at that point of redemption. For those of you that are like me, it happens a little bit further on. It happens when I come to Christ, but there's an exclamation mark. For me, it was when I made him Lord of my life, ruler, king, and I was so confused. I didn't do that at salvation. But later on, that's when I was able to acknowledge the true reality of my existence before God and acknowledging your rightful place in his creative design. This is my definition of humility. He is a creator. You are the creation. You have incredible potential because he has placed that potential within you. It reminds you, humility reminds us, reminds me of the source of your gifts, strengths, and abilities. You didn't have anything to do with your birth. And yes, you can be trained and you can learn things, but your natural gifts, strengths, and abilities are actually from your creator. And to humble oneself is to gain great perspective and strength for living both now and in eternity. Now, here's my expanded version, thanks to Todd Steffens. Todd has helped me with this, and I love them. I'm like, man, I'm going to add that to my definition. Humility before God is not, please hear me, humility before God is not an underappreciation of who you are. Some of you have been raised in traditions where they've led you to believe that humility is you being a punching bag for somebody or a doormat. It is not an underappreciation of who you are, but rather a proper assessment of who you are as his creation. Humility is proper self-assessment, like this. And if you'll see, the anti-God forces work in the extremes of our lives. So what we're talking about humility, here's some people's self-assessment. Oh yeah, look at this. Touch me. You just want to be around me, don't you? Because I'm going to add value to your life. And everybody else is going, that's not humility, nor is humility this.
I'm worthless. I have no God. Just like, you know, I don't even know why you'd be my friend because I'm a terrible friend.
Maybe with that attitude. I mean, I'm just saying. Neither one of those are humility. And if you were raised in a tradition or a church where that kind of groveling was defined as humility, then you have a misunderstanding of what self-assessment and true humility is. I love this statement. It's just a simple example. Think about this. I'm smart enough to know that I don't know everything. Simple, but that's an example. Now, humility learned and applied, this is what I want to do this morning. There's a lot of ways that we could break these verses down, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to be really raw and authentic, following up on last week's teaching about me just being straightforward and honest. So what I want to do is I want to take the reality of all these verses, verse 5, verse 6, verse 7, Micah 6, 8, and I just want to kind of go and show you a timeline of learning in my own life and to see if some of you can maybe relate to this and understand. I'm trying to show you what my process for learning humility has looked like and the struggle and the battle it's been. And please hear me when I say this. We're going to talk a little bit more about this. There is no shortcut for personal, genuine faith relationship when it comes to areas like this in our lives. You can't just sit here and listen and go, oh, that was really good teaching, and then walk out. No, there's going to be a point of intersection where it's going to be painful and personal, and you personally, you can have people come alongside and encourage you and help you, but this is an arduous, painful process of you figuring this out with the holy God of the universe on your own personally, and that's when his presence is going to become even more real to you because he's going to come along and come alongside and help you. So let me start. This is me when I'm younger. I'm in a situation, I'm working for somebody, I'm subordinate to somebody, and something happens, and this is my spirit-filled response. I'm annoyed, ticked, bothered, angry, frustrated, or enraged by some type of arrogant or incompetent leadership situation. I know that I'm probably the only one that's ever been in those kind of situations. But it would just get my gall. Can I say that? And it would just bother me. Now, I'm faced with a choice of response. Now, I'm just going to be honest with you. When I was younger and I work really hard, but sometimes it rises up within me even now. But especially when I was younger, in my younger years, this is my approach to dealing with those types of emotions. I would want to fight and argue or come up with a plan to subtly crush the opposition. Pastor Tim, oh yeah, are you kidding? My natural response was to get even and win. But you got to do it in such a way to where that you're not a flame and raging. You're subtly working, but it's like you get those negative emotions, and all of a sudden, my mind, I go into battle mode, and I'm like, okay, not only am I going to get even in this situation, I'm going to crush them. So as a subordinate, I'm going to crush the leader. I'm like, my mind is working. Some of you, you're with that right now. Can we just be honest about how exhausting that is? I'm laying in bed, my wife thinks I'm sleeping. I'm strategizing. And in my mind, I'm like, I know that we're not going to go to blows, but if we do, you know, because it's like, okay, this is really annoying me. Now, after being confronted with the teachings of Jesus from studying the living word of God, and I got to these verses when I was a young guy, and I'm looking at 1 Peter, and I'm just like, man, this is some good, oh, that's hard. So I began, this Holy Spirit began to work on me, but now that I have a new response option, and we talk about the tool bag, you know, old tool button, open it up. Up to that point, I just had my natural response, my natural, this is the raw Tim Duggins. But now all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit, by the living word of God, puts a new tool in my tool bag. So now I've got another response option. I've got another response that's available to me. But this is some new biblical tools. And now I had to make a choice. And now some of you, you get what I'm saying. I would open up my tool bag. And you know, I want to go to the first tool that's very natural, that fits me. That's like my get even crush tool. It's like, I'll just use a hammer. Because it's like, is it? And the Holy Spirit goes, no, try that new tool. I'm like, really? It's not comfortable. I haven't used it a lot. It's not natural. And I don't think it's going to give me the results I'm looking for. Some of you are like, Pastor Tim, are you saying that? Oh, come on, just be honest. We know our struggles. So then I had a different response than my natural response. But now the challenge is, am I going to choose to grab that new tool? Am I going to use it? So let me move on. So what I did is over a period of time, I learned that I had to make a choice to apply this godly response. And then I learned that there's consequences as I begin to take baby steps with this new tool that the Holy Spirit was giving me, which is called humility and being humble with other people. Because it's hard to walk in humility to humble myself before him and humble myself before others when I've got this anger, wrath generated, get even, I'm going to crush you mindset. Some of you already, you don't like what I'm saying. Good, you're like me. You get it. So what I realized is that now I had two consequences, or I had two choices, and either choice had consequences. Here's the thing I could do. I could stay with my natural response, which was not humility. And what I would do with that, and some of you know this, is I would just stir the pot. I would stir it up. And what I learned over a period of time is my get even and crush approach, I was really making matters worse, not only for the situation, but for myself. But when I was younger, I couldn't see that because I was so fueled by getting even and getting ahead that I couldn't even see the negative consequences for myself or the situation. And then I realized that there were consequences for my choice with God. As I seek God's intervention and allow myself to be open to Him doing uncomfortable things so that He could accomplish unusual outcomes through me. Do you understand what I'm saying? This whole process of humbling myself was very uncomfortable. But here's the crazy thing. In my prayer life, I'm begging God to do great and mighty things. I'm asking Him to change me. I'm asking Him to work on me. I'm asking Him to do incredible things that I can't do. And then I get into this situation and He goes, then I want you to do this. And my response in private is like, yes, I want you to do incredible things, but over here where they're easy. This is uncomfortable. But then as I began to walk in it, I began to see that when I would walk in these uncomfortable steps of obedience and humble myself, that's when the floodgates of His freedom and blessing and power began to be free to work, because I was using and doing what He had already said was gonna unleash amazing things. So I learned over time in this process to get gut level, honest, truthful, raw, and real about my emotions with God by flushing them out to Him. This casting all my cares, or in my case, I felt like it was dumping. You know, sometimes, you know, the whole idea of casting, there's this lighter, like, here you go, God. For me, I felt like it was like, here it is. All these negative emotions that I've got. All these things are being stirred up inside of me because of these leadership situations. But here's what I began to learn. This casting part of these feelings or these perspectives that created something bad inside of me created this process of authenticity and honesty, because I was raised in a tradition that was very much about do's and don'ts. It didn't matter how you felt. So because my church environment made it all about do's and don'ts and compliance, suddenly I just kind of believed that God didn't really care about how I felt. So when I got to these verses, I'm like, okay. So I just started learning how to just dump the ugly, raw, nasty me out to God. Blah, here it goes. And then what I realized, He would respond to me. Because as I would just dump it all out, then that pleased Him, because I'm taking that step of faith. Because what He's really concerned about is that relationship, that trust, that belief. Now, I want to say this, men. Can I just say this, men? Please hear me. Let's stop joking around and being demeaning about the amazing ladies around us. Because most of them have been gifted the way that they are for our learning, for our development. And so, ladies, I appreciate the fact that most of you ladies, not all of you, but most of you are in touch with your emotions and you can express those. And so what I began to realize is that this process, and listen to me, husbands, if you begin, if you have trouble, if you begin the process of this with Father God, and you begin to just be raw and real and talk about and express what's really bothering you, how you're feeling, negative, whatever, and you begin to dump your feelings out, and you get to the point where privately you can emotionally exchange and carry on with God, it's gonna help you learn to take baby steps back toward your wife. And for some of you, as you begin to be honest and real and raw with your wife, which you naturally think is male weakness, your wife is gonna go, Whoa, that's wonderful. Thank you. Because there's going to be that exchange, which creates trust. So as I began to do that with my great God, I began to realize that he genuinely cares for me. His love is not just this like, God so loved the world and you fit into that. No, it was real and personal. He was actively aware of what I was going through as I was sharing my feelings. I learned through the painstaking process that Father God really did and still does care for me because I trusted him with my total ugly self. His response is not usually accompanied by bolts of lightning and then a thunderous voice, but rather a small nudge in the middle of the struggle to show me that he was actively involved in my situation. My learning to trust him with my deepest worry, anxiety, and disappointment was exactly what he wanted from me. And Father God always responded to my faith. I've learned, and I'm still learning, that humbling myself, even in the midst of painful criticism or condemnation, listen to this, it creates a pathway for God to reveal himself as powerful and mighty on my behalf. This is what it does. Please listen. When I do that, it makes it more about God and his plans and his kingdom and less about what I want, my plans, and my kingdom. There's just really a practicality of application here. You got to walk in it and make it your own to see the effects. I can talk to you all day about what I'm learning about humility and how humility has created freedom and power inside of me, but it's not something that you're going to benefit from unless you practically apply it to your own life. And it's not going to be easy. For some of you, it's going to be way more painful than others because of your personality. There's also this experience component. You got to figure it out with God for your personality and your background. I'm telling you about some of the struggles I had and some of the things that went on in me. You already know, if you know me, that I had trust issues all along the way. So submitting to leadership was never easy because I already had some trust issues. But what I'm talking about is that there has to come a point where you are experiencing these things personally on your own. And it's not an easy path. I want to just mention that the book of Proverbs is full of instruction regarding the importance of wisdom and humility. And I'm only going to highlight several today, but all through Proverbs. There's no way I can list all the verses that have to do with humility, so I'm going to read. In Proverbs 15, 31 through 33, it's powerful, but I'm only going to highlight verse 33. Write down all three verses, look them up. Verse 33 says, the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. Proverbs 16, 18 through 19, New King James. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall or stumbling. Better to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil or the plunder with the proud. Proverbs 18, 12. Before destruction, the heart of man is haughty, and before honor is humility. And it goes on and on and on. God, and I just got to remind you, God longs for us to just acknowledge who he is, to humble ourselves before him and to humble ourselves one another. Who wrote this letter? Peter, the Apostle Peter. Peter shared with us, he's like, hey, listen, guys, you've watched my life. You know a lot about me. He probably gets exploited as much as anybody as a leader and as a servant. And Peter's saying, let me share with you the secret nugget of God's commodity and characteristic of humility. He's sharing with us the importance of humility. Now, what I want to give you, I want to give you four words to describe the impact as a Christ follower choosing humility. Now, I'm going to give you these four words. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on them. And this is one of those things that as you begin to press in, you'll see other scriptures. There's so much in here. Number one is clarity. Humbling yourself before God and others creates a sense of clarity that is uncanny. God meets me and shares with me and shows me things when I humble myself that I can't see any other way. There's a level of clarity about the situation. There's a level of clarity about the other person's motivation. It's just incredible how humility creates clarity. Number two, it creates a sense of calm. When I was younger, when I get into that fight mode and crush mode, I am ramped up, wired up. My emotions are matching. I mean, game on, like, argh. And then when you get in those situations, you know, before you go into those, some of you understand, you're working really hard and then it just comes out. You can't control it because you don't go in with a calm spirit. And what I'm just telling you, what I've learned is so many situations over the last 10 years, I go into a buzzsaw situation and that ability to humble myself before God and humble myself before the people that I'm in front of, whether they deserve it or not, doesn't matter, creates a sense of calm that is incredible. Number three, coping. The way the Holy Spirit helps me cope with situations through humility is nothing but supernatural. And number four, cleansing. Please hear me when I say this. This number four, look at me but hear my heart. This is a separating point why some of us don't press into humbling ourselves because you don't want to deal with your junk. You can rationalize, justify, explain away with everybody else in your life, including your spouse. But before God, he knows you. He knows who you are. He knows what your weaknesses are. And what has happened in my life is I have pressed into humility. Guess what happens to me? The Holy Spirit says, you need to remove this. You need to deal with this. You need to cleanse and purify. If this is what you want, you've got stuff in there that doesn't fit with the Spirit of God. And there's a cleansing that takes place. And I'm just going to tell you, not only is the church, big church in America, got a lot of arrogance, there's a lot of cleansing that also needs to take place. I'm not worried about anybody else, but I'm worried about me and I'm concerned about us. Now, what I want to use real quick, I want you to use this diagram from Atomic Habits. I love this because I think it'll help drive the point, and I'm going to go through this. Let me read what James Clear, the author of Atomic Habits, says. With outcome-based habits, the focus is on what you want to achieve. With identity-based habits, the focus is on what you wish to become. Now, when you look at this, what I want to mention to you, thank you, Tyler, is that a lot of us come from traditions where nobody ever says this, but all the do's and don'ts, how many people were won to Christ this week, which is there's nothing wrong with that. How many people were baptized? What's your attendance? What are your offerings? What is all this? If we're not really careful, what we subtly say is, yeah, we can talk about identity, but we're more concerned about outcomes. What are we going to accomplish? Especially in America, it just fits because it's part of capitalism. What are the outcomes? What are you doing for? And then what we are talking about now, please hear me. We're not talking about humility as an outcome. What I'm trying to talk to you about this morning is humility as your identity. The humility becomes part of who we are. When we went through the Sermon on the Mount, what were we constantly talking about? Jesus was teaching this because he's trying to say, your identity should be in this new kingdom citizenship. You need to realize that you've been born of the Spirit, that you are now part of a heavenly family. And what does that do? That goes straight to the level of identity. This is now who we are. We talked about last week about walking in the way. That has everything to do with identity, not just because of the outcomes. And you can see in the process what you do and how you are. Once you begin to embrace humility, then humility begins to affect the process, and humility as part of your identity always affects the outcomes. Are you following with me? Okay, so let's read this. Let me remind you of Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30. I'm just going to read verse 29 that we read last week. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you. This is Jesus. Because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. You see what I'm talking about? We're supposed to be like Jesus. Father God's plan for us is to believe, follow, learn, and to become like his son. Walking in the way becomes our identity. I'm not just walking in the way because this is just the outcome path that I'm supposed to be on for eternity. No, I'm walking in the way because this is my identity. This is who I am. And then we have been forgiven and handed a new lease on life through faith by grace. Romans chapter 8 and verse 29. For God knew his people in advance and he chose them to become like his son so that his son would be the firstborn supreme among many brothers and sisters. 1 Corinthians 11:1. This is what Paul said to the people at Corinth. Be imitators of me. I'm trying to be an example as I am of Christ. Philippians 2, verse 5. In your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. Why? Because our identity is changing. John 13, verse 15. For I gave you an example, this is Jesus, that you also should do as I did to you. Now, real quick, I want to give you two things. If you believe in Jesus and you're learning to follow in his way, then the scripture makes it very plain that there's two choices. I don't care who you are, two choices. You have the choice to humble yourself or be humbled. Now, some of you that are walking the path with me, I'm just going to say all the time, choose A, choose A, choose plan A. It is so much better to humble yourself before God. Because it's not just a general humbling. When he humbles you, he's trying to remind you or discipline you or show you how much he loves you, and it's going to be personal for your personality and your struggles. He's going to get your attention. Well, some of us, it may take number 32 before we go, oh. So you can either humble yourself or be humbled, period. I beg you to learn the way of humility with me. And let's expect God to do powerful things on our behalf, personally and collectively as a church family. Humility creates an amazing freedom that is incredibly powerful. Let's walk in the power of freedom. It would take me 5 or 6 hours for us to just sit and talk, to even share all the things that I've learned and I'm still learning about the freedom and the power of the freedom that humility brings to a soul, mind, and spirit. And look at me. And not a one of you can take it away from me. Because it's a personal choice. And then it becomes part of your identity. And then as you keep pressing in long enough, I'm addicted to it. And I still struggle. But I don't want to be the arrogant, self-centered, self-focused, proud man that I used to be, because in the desire to help people, I wreaked hurt and havoc on people because I didn't understand humility. And I'm still learning what humility is. When you hear somebody, hey, come to my lecture, humility and how I attained it, okay, I'm still in the process of learning. But please hear me when I say this. Our desire for you is that you would learn to live in freedom. And not just freedom, but powerful freedom, so that the Spirit of God is powerfully active and vibrant in your life, so that you are learning that as you humble yourself, just like what the scripture says, at the right time, God is going to honor you, lift you up, empower you. And what we need to be as a church family, where we're not creating these fake power structures, but we're letting God flow over us, through us, and all around us. We're in a dark world right now. We're asking God to do great and mighty things. It's only going to respond to us humbling ourselves. So please, I'm begging, I'm asking, let's walk the way of humility together. Because as we do that, we're going to be free to learn to love each other, to look out for each other, to care for one another. Let's stand and sing about his greatness.